3, James chapter 3, he's speaking about our most unruly member. And no, it's not my wife. James chapter 3. Verse 1. My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater damnation. For many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. Notice that. We all have a problem with this. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man. I know I'm not perfect. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also these ships, which, though they be so great and are driven by fierce winds, yet they are turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so the tongue is a little member, and boasteth great things. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth. Just a small thing, but what an effect it can have. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is a tongue among our members that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and is set on the fire of hell. For every kind of beasts and birds and serpents and of things in the sea is tamed and hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. See, if any man offend not in word, the same as a perfect man. The tongue no man can tame. Therefore, therewith bless we God, even the Father. Therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries, either a vine figs? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. There's a tombstone in England, it reads thus: beneath this stone, a lump of clay, lies Arabella Young, who in the 24th of May began to hold her tongue. A little late. You know, the Bible has much to say about our tongues and how we should use them. Now, look again at verse 5 through 8 here. Even so, the tongue is a little member, and boasteth great things. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth. The tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is a tongue among our members that it defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on the fire of hell. For every kind of beast and of birds and of serpents and of things in the sea is tamed, and hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. Talk about my tongue and yours. All of us need to be careful with this thing. And so, you know, and I'm as guilty as anybody. You know, we just say things without even thinking. And then wish we hadn't. Be careful with your words. You know, it's sad, but believers, you know, we kind of have this skewed idea sometimes of sins. Talked this morning in Sunday school about drunkenness, and you know, that's one of the biggies among fundamental Christians. And certainly it's a sin, there's no question about that. But so is gossip. But yet we take such a flippant attitude towards that. In fact, sometimes we disguise it as a prayer request. You know, a prayer request ought to be limited to the pertinent details and not all the embellishments and thoughts and ideas that we want to put across with that. Pray for this person, for this need. And sometimes we get, you know, oh, let me share something with you to pray about. And all that is an excuse to gossip about something or someone. And yet we dismiss that as, you know, well, everybody does it. It's not real bad. It doesn't hurt anybody. Oh, yes, it does hurt people. And it's, in God's mind, in God's sight, it's just as bad as any other sin. We want to categorize sins. We want to place some things higher or worse than other things. But God looks upon it all as the same. Adultery, fornication, drug abuse, whatever you want to talk about. It's all sin. And we need to have less of a more of a serious attitude towards this. We need to look at them as God looks at them. Let me show you first the power of the tongue. Go to Proverbs chapter 18. Proverbs chapter 18. Proverbs 18 and verse 21 says this. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Death and life in the power of the tongue. With just a pronouncement of the word, the king can determine whether someone lives or dies. That's one application of it. But you know, in our society today, there seems to be a lot of problem with this bullying stuff going on, and especially on with the internet and so forth. And there's been instances of children who have, young persons, teenagers who have committed suicide because of cyberbullying on Facebook and so forth. And they just pick and they taunt and they tease and they harass. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. It happened before the internet. It's just a lot more easier and it's a lot more anonymous oftentimes. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. The things that we say can have a powerful effect upon others. Chapter 12 and verse 18. Proverbs 12 and verse 18. There is it speaketh like the piercings of a sword, but the tongue of the wise is health. Associated with a piercing of a sword, it cuts. It hurts. The wounds are not physical, but they're nevertheless just as much real, though we can't see them. The emotional scars and hurts that are inflicted by the power of the tongue. Chapter 26, Proverbs chapter 26 and verse 28. A lying tongue hateth those that are afflicted by it, and a flattering mouth worketh ruin. A lying tongue hateth those afflicted by it. Just meditate on that. Put that back there and think about that one for a while. And the flattering mouth worketh ruin. This is the power of the tongue. Next, I want to look at the perils of the tongue. There's a number of sins that are associated with this. You know, boasting is one of the sins. And we say gossip. But you know the word gossip doesn't even appear in the Bible? It's not a biblical word. But there are a number of things I think that can come under the heading of gossip. Slander. Backbiting. Evil speaking. Bearing false witness. Tale bearing. Just telling things that ought not to be told. That aren't completely true. There might be an element of truth involved in them, but there's also lies in there, and the lying tongue hateth those that are afflicted by it. These are the sins that God associates with the tongue. Look at Exodus chapter, well, Exodus 20 verse 14 is the Ten Commandments are given. And bearing false witness is one of the commandments in Exodus 20:14. Look at Matthew chapter 15. Matthew chapter 15. Matthew 15 and verse 18. But those things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and they defile the man. Oh, I didn't mean to say that. According to Jesus, it came from your heart. And it defiled you. Verse 19, for out of the heart proceed evil thoughts. Now look at the association here. Evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashed hands defileth not a man. You know, the Pharisees are all worried about the outside, you know, and how they go through this ceremony, this proper ceremony of cleansing their hands and cleansing their utensils before they eat. And it's not a matter of sanitation. It's a matter of rigmarole, of their ceremonies and so forth, their traditions. You didn't do it right. Therefore, you're unclean. And Jesus says, no, there's nothing outside that can enter in and defile me. The defilement begins within. As Paul said in Romans chapter 7, I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. And because I have not put the old man to death, I have not crucified with Christ as I ought to be, then these evil things come out of me. Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Look at 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4. First Peter 4, verse 15. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's matters. And that's where that tongue enters into this thing. We want to know about what's going on with somebody else. What happened there? And it's not a matter of so we can pray intelligently. It's so we can tell somebody else what we know. Our nose stuck in somebody else's business where it doesn't belong. That's a sin of the tongue. He says, we ought not to suffer as this. And again, look at the connection. Murderers, a thief, an evildoer with a busybody. Revelation 21 and verse 8. Revelation 21 and verse 8. But the fearful and unbelieving and abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Notice again that connection, the peril of the tongue. The people have said, you know, let your words be few. That's how this sin is demonstrated. John Wesley used to say that he would not talk to anybody for more than 15 minutes, because at that point, the likelihood of sinning would be increased. Think about that. And think about the time, and I'm not saying we should limit all our conversation to 15 minutes, but we need to be careful about what we do. We're just sitting around talking with each other. That sin doesn't creep into the thing. Look at Proverbs 10 and verse 19. Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 19. In the multitude of words, there wanteth not sin, but he that refraineth his lips is wise. Proverbs 13, verse 2. A man shall eat good by the fruit of his mouth, but the soul of the transgressors shall eat violence. He that keepeth his mouth keepeth his life, but he that openeth wide his lips shall have destruction. Chapter 17 and verse 27. He that hath knowledge spareth his words, and a man of understanding is of an excellent spirit. Watch this one. Even a fool, when he holdeth his peace, is counted wise, and he that shutteth his lips is esteemed a man of understanding. Abraham Lincoln said it, I think kind of the same thought, said it like this: better to remain silent and be thought a fool than to open your mouth and remove all doubt. Even a fool, when he holdeth his peace, is counted wise, and he that shutteth his lips is esteemed a man of understanding. There's a benefit to remaining silent. I was teasing Pam while we were shaking hands this morning. She's not here, but Dean was talking, using her as an illustration, and I told her my tongue was bleeding for comments that I thought about and could have made and didn't. And I don't think she would have been harmed by them. I don't think she would have cared. But you know what? We're just too flippant sometimes, aren't we, with the tongue? Hold the peace. Learn to be quiet. Children, learn to be quiet. To not put yourself in front of people and have to be occupying the conversation. Someone said this: many conversations are simply monologues delivered in the presence of a witness. He suffers from constipation of the brain and diarrhea of the mouth. The trouble with her is that she lacks the power of conversation, but not the power of speech. Wise men talk because they have something to say. Fools, because they have to say something. Ecclesiastes chapter 5. Ecclesiastes chapter 5 and verse 2. Be not rash with thy mouth, and let not thine heart be hasty to utter anything before God. For God is in heaven, and thou upon earth. Therefore, let thy words be few. For a dream cometh through multitude of business, and a fool's voice is known by the multitude of words. And then 1 Timothy chapter 5. 1 Timothy chapter 5. Verse 11, 1 Timothy 5:11. But the younger widows refuse. For when they have begun to wax wanton against Christ, they will marry, having damnation because they have cast off their first faith, and withal learn to be idle, wandering about from house to house, and not only idle, but tattlers also, and busybodies, speaking things which they ought not. I will therefore that the younger women marry, bear children, guide the house, give none occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully, for some are already turned aside after Satan. You know, women are often the brunt of jokes about this and so forth. It doesn't exclude men. Men can be guilty of this as well, but for some reason, something about the makeup of a woman, they seem more prone to this than men. Again, I'm not saying men aren't guilty. I'm guilty at times. But women seem to be more prone to this. And so he gives us instruction about how they ought to act, that they ought not to be taken in as young widows because of this problem. Idle. Too much time on one's hands. Not enough of your own business. So you begin to stick your nose in other people's business where it ought not to be. Look at Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12. Verse 35. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things. And an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified. By thy words thou shalt be condemned. As we stand before God as a believer in Jesus Christ, we're going to stand one day at the judgment seat of Christ to give an account to Him of the things done in our body, whether they be good or evil, it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Apparently, our words are going to be some of those things by which we will be judged. Every idle word. Those things that we've spoken without giving much thought to it. Just popped out of our mouths. And we end up having to beg forgiveness for it later. But you know what? Those things a lot of times may be forgiven but not forgotten. Once it's said, it's said. You can't unsay it. And the scar is left. And I speak from experience. There's things that I've said that I wish to God that I could take back. But they can't be. We need to be careful, folks. These are the perils of the tongue. Thirdly, the prescription for taming the tongue. Look at Psalm 39. Psalm chapter 39. Psalm 39 and verse 1. I said, I will take heed to my ways that I sin not with my tongue. I will keep my mouth with a bridle while the wicked is before me. The psalmist understood the power and the danger of this little number that we have. There's a woman that came to Dwight L. Moody one time after he had preached. And he was an excellent preacher. He used God to win multitudes to Christ, having revivals all over the world, not just in America. But this woman came up to him and said, "Mr. Moody, and she listed all the errors, grammatical errors that he had made in his sermon that morning. And he looked at the woman and he says, "Lady, I'm using my tongue for the glory of God. What are you using yours for?" You think God cares about the grammatical errors? But that critical spirit that came out in speech, where the woman would have been better off just biting her tongue, keeping it to herself, and saving the embarrassment. Psalm 141. Psalm 141, verse 3. "Set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth. Keep the door of my lips." Proverbs chapter 15. Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 1. "A soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger." This probably never happens in your house, but Eileen and I have words once in a while. This verse is true. I get upset with her. She gets upset with me. And we say something because we're upset. And if the one being spoken to just remains silent and lets the other vent for a moment, usually it kind of dies out and it's okay. But when you retaliate, that's when the thing begins to escalate, isn't it? And then neither of you is talking to the other for a while. "A soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. The tongue of the wise useth knowledge aright, but the mouth of fools poureth out foolishness." Look at verse 28 of this same chapter. "The heart of the righteous studieth to answer, but the mouth of the wicked poureth out evil things." Taking a moment to think before you speak. The righteous study to answer. Give some thought before they speak. But the fool is just, and it's out there, regurgitating the words. This woman from Kansas we knew. Some of you met her. And she was known as a talker. I mean, her mouth just ran all the time. You didn't end the conversation, you just walked away. Because it never ended. And she was talking away one time, and she talked fast, just a mile a minute. And one day she just stopped, and she said, "I don't know what I just said." And right off again. No thought about what's being spoken. But the righteous studieth to answer. Look at Proverbs 17, verse 27. "He that hath knowledge spareth his words, and a man of understanding is of an excellent spirit." Chapter 21, verse 23. "Whoso keepeth his mouth and his tongue keepeth his soul from troubles." Are you getting a theme here? We need to use few words. And the words we use, we need to be careful about them. Because the more words we use and speak, the more opportunity we have to sin and create some harm. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Someone said, or should have written this one down, it's something about you shouldn't speak unless you can improve on the silence. No corrupt communication, but that which is good to the use of edifying. Is this going to help or is this going to hurt? And certainly the Scriptures allow for our times of rebuking someone and so forth. But we need to make sure that we are right before we do that. Look at Colossians chapter 4. Colossians chapter 4, verse 6. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. I've heard many people boast of how quick-witted they are with a comeback. And I've heard some say, boy, I wish I was quicker on my feet like that. You know, no, really, we need to be slower on our feet. It says in James 1:19, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. We need to listen. It's been said God gave us two ears and one mouth. We should listen twice as much as we speak. I think that's the thought of James chapter 1, verse 19. Swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 10. 1 Peter 3:10. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips, that they speak no guile. Will Rogers said this, never miss a good chance to shut up. That, I think, sums up the prescription for taming our tongue. Is to just keep the gate closed. As the psalmist says, put a bar before my lips. To practice being silent and not speaking. So you've had some time to process and think about what you would say so you don't have to eat those words. Prescription for taming tongue. And finally, a purified tongue. Look at Psalm chapter 19. Psalm chapter 19. And verse 14. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. You see, when I've taken care of my heart properly and listened to the Scriptures, what it says about how I use my tongue, that will be the result. The words of my mouth being acceptable in God's sight. Psalm 35 and verse 28. And my tongue shall speak of thy righteousness and of thy praise all the day long. That's the righteous tongue, the purified tongue. Speaking of God and drawing people's attention to Him. And that's not going to hurt them. That's going to help them. Psalm 71 and verse 24. My tongue shall talk of thy righteousness all the day long, for they are confounded, for they are brought unto shame that seek my hurt. Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 31. Proverbs 10:31. The mouth of the just bringeth forth wisdom, but the froward tongue shall be cut out. Oh, how we need to be careful with our words. The power of words. The Bible says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. How shall they hear without a preacher? That's the power of the right words being used in a way which glorifies and honors God. And church, may we strive, may we focus on our tongues being used in the right way, a purified way, that we may bring honor and glory to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let's stand, please, for prayer. Lord, this has been a rather heavy message this morning. Father, help us, each of us, to search our own hearts, to recognize ways in which we have used our tongues not for edification, but for some evil purpose. Oh God, help us to set that watch before our lips and a guard at our tongue. Help us, God, to consider our words before we speak them. May they be filtered through the Holy Ghost, and that they would honor and glorify you. Help us, O God, to be the people that you desire for us to be. God, I thank you for this church. I thank you for the people that you've assembled in this place and what you've done here, God. And help us in every way to be right before you. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.